my dear fellow Republic Broadcasting Network listeners. It's so nice to have spring here and get some little rough, bumpy spots in different ways. but we're doing fine, and we really appreciate all your continuing support. You can go to republicbroadcasting.org and you can press the donate button, and you can review all the different sponsors and see what you like there. You can call in to 800-724-2719, extension 3, or you can donate by mail via check, money orders, etc. Payable to RBN and sent to 2251 Double Creek Drive, number 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. And I particularly like the DixieRepublic.com. I haven't been there, but Stephen Whitener tells us about it, and Michael Gaddy's been there, and Sarge, Jim Ram, that comes on Rebel Madman Radio, and they've broadcast from there, and they just have so many different items. I have a shirt someone got me from there that has a Northern Confederate on it. I like it. And the leather shop and everything. And you can email them at proudsouthern123@gmail.com and tell them RBN sent you. So today is the 28th of April in the year of our Lord Jesus the Christ, 2024, or maybe more. And I want to offer a little prayer here to start, because I need it. I need all the prayer I can get, and we all do. So, dear Heavenly Father, thank you for being with us all the time. Please help this message be received in a way that can benefit listeners. And please keep our connection strong. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. So I'm getting a little liquid sunshine here. Very nice. And we have a guest today from the RBN family of hosts. He is the one that closes out the end of the weekdays, the final hour from 10 p.m. till midnight Central Time. And Travis is his name, and I have a clip from his show. But we're going to get to that in a few minutes. And I have a whole bunch of notes scribbled here from a collection of things and things we may talk about. And Travis has a couple of links that I put in the chat room. And I finally remembered to send that chat room to him, too, if he wants to get in there with you folks. And, you know, I think just about the different things we talk about now. Mitchell Henderson, I really like him. And in fact, in this clip, he's in it too. And I like to listen to him on Jeff Rentz. And he has so much experience and practical knowledge and ability to decipher what to do when the time comes. And the only thing is when he says about Cain. Now, this is the thing that the Christian ID people bring up. But they forget that apparently that in Noah's flood, which covered the whole earth, Cain and his descendants were destroyed. But it is the same principle with Esau, Edom. That is, God said, Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated. And Esau, Edom will be the problem in the end here. And it's the ones that we call the Jews. Not all the Jews, but the ones we call the Jews. And they're the ones that control the currency. So whenever we come up with all these solutions that we think are going to change things, we don't remember, apparently, that, you know, it's like all the different board games. If you're old enough to remember playing board games, and you'd have someone being the banker. Well, we always have them as banker, no one else. They always get in that position everywhere they've been. And then they get expelled 1,031 times, counting Afghanistan and starting with Egypt. And they broke the covenant with God because they rejected Jesus Christ. And he's one and the same as God, just as the breath of holiness, which is another word really for the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit. Spirit is breath. And it's more accurate. You know, God inspired men to write the Bible, and then translators were paid by men to change a lot of things around. Like, for instance, the word spear is used throughout about God. And more often it's actually respect. They changed it to fear because they want us to be in fear. And he's a loving God. He's a loving creator. And also, they also changed loving kindness often to mercy, there again to make him seem harsh and strict. And yeah, we have the Ten Commandments, and they're not hard to keep. And they're really a good basis for any law system, and they always have been. Some like to go to others, like Hammurabi and different things that came after that, but none are as concise. Uh-oh. Okay, we might lose power at any time now, so we'll have to get this hot like chicken snot. Did I say that? I didn't mean to. Yeah, so, you know, things like Ted Pike's The Other Israel are good things to watch. Last week I talked about Good Lion Films on Rumble, the greatest show on earth, which went through all the different things. Derek Johnson, he sings country western, but he's also very knowledgeable in the law of war. And it was taken from that. And then Mike King backs on that. And people tend to, you know, you can only talk bad about Trump now. Doesn't matter. It's not called Trump derangement syndrome anymore. It's just you have to talk bad about him. And that's fine. Whatever. I mean, for one thing, none of the presidents or any of them ever do what they say. I mean, just the other day, Mike Johnson is reading off this thing verbatim that there were babies in ovens. Give me a break. You know, and I won't say that date back in October because they're using that for the new Ola hoax because that's kind of run out of steam. Everybody's questioning it, even their own young. They're like, what? You know, that doesn't make sense. And so they're trying to use this new lie, just like the old lie, to make themselves the eternal victims when in fact they are the eternal victors and write the history and smear it all around. And that's another thing that gets me, how the things about World War II and Christian Germany and how that was so maligned. And it was the same thing with the South in the Northern War of Aggression or the Second War for Independence. I don't think we need to call it civil, actually. And what a horrible creature Lincoln was. Lincoln Stein, whatever. Springsteen, Stein. And he just started all this stuff. And people want to worship him. And everyone's, bring it back to Lincoln, you know. Well, why, you know? And you see him on this big marble throne, like the great white throne of judgment in Revelation, sitting by the Potomac. And behind him, it says this temple, right? So I say, hey, you Jew Melungians, get out of here and take this Melungian with you. Drag him out too. But of course, that's not going to happen. We're too far gone. And I think that's probably a fact. So, but I have so many different notes. And maybe I'll try to get a little here like Blackburn does, like Frederick C. Blackburn. Maybe Travis will want to talk about the USS Donald Cook. Now, Travis said he heard me on Sitting In for Robert on March 31st. And when Ken called in, this came up. And so we talked about it. And the whole thing that night, I had a kind of review with Jim O'Doherty and two people, Lynn Ertel and Fake Nukes Phil. You know, just analyzing what had happened to the Francis Scott Key Bridge. They're not even talking about that anymore now. And that was really kind of an act of war, you know, take down a major thoroughfare. But they had different ideas and stuff. And now I think Robert said something about his ideas were different from mine. And basically, I just was listening to them because it had happened so recently. And this was a pretty thorough analysis, including from Laura Logan, who she's one of them, but she did have pretty much on target saying things, but she liked to add in there, oh, it's a Mason-Dixon line. In other words, trying to kick off another civil war, get people thinking about that. You know, like the Harley guy with the red hat on 9/11 walk up to the Fox News people and tell them exactly what happened, you know, as if. Yeah. So that USS Donald Cook, that was in 2014, April 10th. It went into the Black Sea, shouldn't have. And on April 12th, a Russian plane flew over it, had a basket of some kind of something, and it's theorized that it was like the Marin Keshi technology with plasma. Whatever it was, it silenced all their electronics, and that ship had to be towed to port. I think it was in Romania. And 27 of the sailors resigned. And but I kept thinking, because there were so many things in 2014, if you'll notice the different ops that were dropped, including Flat Earth that was dropped then. And the Spitlickers, SBLC, added four different hate categories. Now, I never even click on their site anymore, especially after that, but they have a hate map and it's basically just saying where the white Christian men are. Sure looks like it anyway. So, and of course that would be hate to them because they're Antichrist, and that doesn't mean Christ and Antichrist, just one being of each. That's a characteristic. And you either emulate Christ or the opposite of him, and Jews are Antichrist, like Mitchell Henderson says. It's just very clear, and others. It's just, they do the opposite. They rejected him, and more and more satanic stuff. And it seems to me some of these people, like Jim in Brooklyn, used to call in, and he called in with William when he was sitting in for Richard Carey, and it just got very ignorant and kind of nasty, and, well, why can you be subverted? You know, as if it's not a problem that these people are doing the subverting and the inverting and the perverting, but it is a problem and they're not trustworthy, but we get to see how that is, and we can still pray for them, pray for each and every one of us, the whole earth, we need it. So it's good to have a prayer in your heart all the time. And of course, the Ten Commandments, and this gets me too with E. Michael Jones. I like to follow his work. It's pretty interesting. But he'll come up and say, well, they were breaking the Fifth Commandment. Well, the Fifth Commandment is honor your father and your mother. But he was speaking of the Sixth Commandment. But since the Catholic Corporation took out the Second Commandment, which is, thou shalt not make unto thee any graven images. And of course, that's what they're all about. And then when the 10th commandment about not coveting, they broke that into two parts. Can't covet your wife or your neighbor's stuff either. I mean, your neighbor's wife or your neighbor's stuff. So then again, he had one time said, when he was talking about, sexual things, he said they were breaking the 6th commandment. Well, that's thou shalt not kill. And he meant the 7th, thou shalt not commit adultery. So, he does a lot of good stuff, but this is just confusing. And a lot of Catholic people find Christ through their church, and that's wonderful. But that's what it's all about. We each have to have a personal, intimate relationship with him, and eventually we all will. That's what universal restoration will be about. The earth made new, and all of us made new. And we'll be able to do things like, just go off to other planets and visit. Apparently, we originally had 12 strands of DNA, and now it's a big deal when they find some of these people have a weak third strand. And that was, in fact, the case with one of the Rothschilds, who was happy. He was happy at home. James was his name, I forget. Anyway, he was happy with his home and his family and his hobbies and everything, and they made him go to London to work in, over one of the banks or whatever. And so then it's reported, he hanged himself with his tie to his rope over the towel rack. Okay. Sort of like all these ones with the scarf around the neck on the doorknob. Yeah. So, but it turns out, and Chip Tatum had followed up on this. He called it, the article was a murder in a hotel room or something like that. And, they killed him because he was trying, he sent in a blood sample and trying to find out what was different. And they found this weak third strand. And ironically, some of this stuff is going on unbeknownst to anybody. Someone called Patty Broussard, real name Patrick, but he's a twin spirit Mi'kmaq shaman. and very smart. And you can find work they did at Project Incension at YouTube. And I can put a link in the chat. And you go back through some of them. Most of those I did get to catch live. Not all of them, but they're from a few years ago. And just all the different things that have happened. And some of it you can see in there where they're following. Well, this Patty had was a probably still is a computer whiz, and actually had to install some of the stuff in, like, the space stations and the and whatnot, and went up at one time to fix, I think it was the Hubble. But all this computer know-how, you know, they'll black them out if they see them there. But they were watching, and they had been trying to group manifest something into CERN. And that was November 15, 2015. Yeah, and you can find it in there. And then the next year, all the different things after that. But what happened was all the screens went black and the people left the room. And CERN cut loose and ripped around through the countryside there and killed probably about 300,000 people in Geneva. And we don't hear about that. And it hit the hospital and everything. And they don't know what force, but some force got it back together and working again. And there's like a portal there. And just all kind of things going on. Jesse Saboter talks about a lot of these things too, and how the Luciferian Brotherhood, the Illuminati, whatever, how they'll come around, and, you know, when people are, you know, going to be hired by them, they have their hierarchy children and their, you know, dispensable ones that they don't care, they get sacrificed and things. And but they'll come and they'll point to one and point them and say, what will you do? And say, this person will say, well, I'll do anything, but just not with animals. Get my drift. So then they go on, and next one, I'll just do anything. I don't care if it's with animals. And so then, of course, they'll take them to do what they want them to do. And so then we have ritual murders going on because of all these secret societies. And the five main ones are Masons, Mormons, Jesuit Catholics, Satanists, and Kabbalah. Of course, Kabbalah is Jewish. And they all think they're separate and secret and everything, but they're all Luciferian or satanic, basically. And different leaders actually meet every night with Satan. And he does materialize. He did that in the UN, or probably way more than one time. But the one time I'm thinking about was a young fellow was there sitting up in the peanut gallery because his father, a businessman, all the businessmen were around that big oval table you see sometimes in pictures. And David Rockefeller was at one end, and there was an empty seat at the far end. And so anyway, these young fellows were up there, and they were watching what was going on. And all of a sudden, all the businessmen started chanting. I don't know if they're clapping their hands too or what, but they're chanting. And this figure materializes in the empty seat at the other end of the table. And so then they get down to business. And so we see who runs business, right? So this young fella, he just took off for the hills and went lived in a cabin in the mountains. Forget it. I'm not having any part of that. So, Sam, if you're ready for that one clip we have, we'll go and play that, see if we can get it in before the break.
I wanted to hear your solution because Andy was asking about that. And I've often wondered how we're going to dig ourselves out of this hole. I don't see any way out.
I think the only way out is through the middle. And what I mean by that is, you know, the economy, the political world, the economy, it's going to collapse. It cannot sustain itself. We're cutting off energy. We're cutting back on every energy source that we can. We have 8 billion people on this planet. Without oil, there will be famine. There will be people freezing to death. This will result in violence. This will result
absolutely
in implosion. I mean, if you went to the Maya world, it imploded. The civilization imploded on its own. I think world civilization is going to implode. So the solution is, you know, you've got yourself, and then you've got maybe some friends, and you got some family. You're on your own.
Yeah.
You just have to make it through this implosion, okay? And the people who are left over, they are the ones who are going to inherit the earth.
Yeah.
And in my group of people, the people that I'm with, as soon as somebody says, hey, I think I want to be the ruler, I'm going to kill them, okay? They're not going to go through this shit again. We'll not put up for with a leader. We'll not do that ever again. We'll not follow anybody ever again.
The last inheritors, their names were Rothschilds, Rockefellers, Bilderbergs. They were the elites. They inherited this junkyard and took all the technology, took all the weapons, had all the food. I mean, you'll rebuild society if you are the one getting all the gains. So be that person. Be the one to confiscate and get all the gains when this does happen. There's no applying brakes, and you're not. And there is nobody that can fix this problem. Jesus ain't coming.
You can't live, and you can't live 1,000 years.
Nope.
More importantly, time is the biggest enemy that you have, Jim. Time. The biggest enemy you have. You don't have enough time to fix anything. You don't have enough time to educate everybody into fixing. Even if you had a world stage in front of you, and it was the mic was given to you, you're not going to change anybody's mind.
Listen, it's all going to come down. This is just what's going to happen. It's going to all implode. Okay, I mean it cannot sustain itself. It will all implode. Okay, mm-hmm. And when it does, if I'm there, I'm going to be there to just say no to all the idiots that want to go through all this shit again. I will not approve of it.
Yeah, remove yourself from any system.
It will be a true
democracy.
It will be one vote for each person, and my vote will be, bang, no. Just say no.
Well, I just removed myself from the system, personally. That's what I did. I removed myself from their system. That means that I don't do things like Facebook and YouTube and politics and religion. I removed myself from their controls. Now I can say anything I want to say. I can think anything I want to think. And I'm generally at odds with most people. Because their paradigms are very easy to break. But I used to be one of those people. I used to be one of those normies. Long time ago. But the best you can hope for is just to remove yourself enough from the system that you can protect your family and yourself from the coming onslaught. You know, if you didn't get jabbed, then that puts you ahead of 90% of the rest of the people out there.
Yeah.
you could be a retard walking around, a complete literal, legal retard that refused to get the jab, and you're still smarter than 9 out of 10 people.
Right.
These people handed their children over to something they had no idea what was in this concoction. We figured that they'd apply brakes and people would say, hey, wait a minute. But for donuts and gift certificates, they walk their children right into these facilities to get injected with this mess.
And all of that, they sent them to college. And all colleges in the United States, require a full schedule of COVID jabs. That's not one. That's not two. That's not three. It's almost 7. They've deleted a whole generation of people and their ability to have babies. Do they make the Mexicans and the South Americans get jabbed when they come across the border before they put them on a plane and give them a credit card? No.
Nope.
You know why? Because they don't want them to die.
Right. So obviously they hate us
for
some reason.
Well, they come from a collectivist society, okay? They come from a very, actually a very patriarchal collectivist society where they're used to taking orders and doing as they're told. They're not people who have any kind of history or culture of individualism at all. They're very collectivist in mind. So they want them to live because they're going to be the slaves. They don't want rebellious slaves. They want people who will do as they're told.
Well, that's what you want to believe, but the truth is they'll demonize them as soon as they control the population and the voting. They will start pitting them against each other. And they already got this planned out. They'll have every Latino that wasn't even born here hating every other Latino that wasn't born here. Won't take them but 20 years. They'll do it through media, especially media, social media. And then look what they've done to us. If I was to go back 20 years, just 20 years, and tell you what was going on today, you would say, dude, what kind of drugs are you on? That's never going to happen here.
Well, actually, I kind of expected everything to happen that's happened. I could see the writing on the wall a long time ago, okay?
That's good.
I'm not any kind of special prophet or nothing. I was just following what's going on. I could see where it was headed. You know, I mean, when I was a young man, I read books like 1984 by George Orwell or Brave New World. And at the time that I read it in the 1970s, I saw it already taking place then. So I knew
when I read Huxley, I didn't even understand it. It seemed like some sort of weird, crazy fiction. When I read 1984, it seemed like it was kind of applicable, but not really. But that was 40 years ago. So I didn't have the mindset, you know. I think if you wanted to try to fix the world and make a good dent in fixing it, get everybody off the damn television.
Yeah, that'd be step one for sure.
That'd be step one. Turn the damn TV off.
Yep.
Throw
get
it
them
out.
Outside, get them exercising. Get them eating right.
No more GMOs. Limit their cell phone usage.
You know, go back
to
the older ways, the simpler ways of doing things. That's the only way to try and get us somewhat back on a track. We're not on track now. I mean, it's going over the hill. And it's easy fixes. If I had all the resources that the government has, I could feed everybody, house everybody, educate, clothe, infrastructure, roads. Everything would be top-notch. Because I look at subways in places in Russia and other countries, and it's state-of-the-art stuff. And they don't have the economy that we have, supposedly. But yet, there's no trash. There's no homeless. It's easy.
Dude, if they would have spent half of what they spent on Ukraine in the last 2 years in America, everybody would own their own house. Nobody would be worried about the price of groceries. Everybody would be on their way to a great education. Everybody would have a good car. Everybody would have great health care. All the healthcare places would have state-of-the-art equipment. But where's
the stimulus money could have done now?
What? Hey, guys. We had a great conversation. Unfortunately, we're at the end of the show.
I'm
glad you guys could join us. Mitchell, thanks for calling in. Appreciate it. We'll have you back on again. Joe and Jeff, have you guys back on too? Appreciate you guys calling in.
Yes, I'm not calling in no more. It's depressing. It's just depressing.
Yeah, it's good talking to
you, Jeff, Joe, Andy, Tavis. Good talking to you guys.
Yeah,
yes, sir.
Sir. Andy, thanks for calling in. All right, everybody, have a great weekend. Be safe, and we'll see you next week.
All right,
take care.
See ya.
All right, we'll have Travis live when we come back.
tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Hi, Tom Bolton for EaseOff. I know so many of you are finding our EZ4 carcass drop and lift an essential tool for your meat processing operation, but today I want to spotlight four of our new products. First, our right height hog cradles with steel or aluminum frames. Our customers love this back-saving innovation that enhances sanitation and speeds production. Next, our beef cradles with stainless steel or aluminum frames eliminate rust and corrosion. We hope you'll compare our quality and prices for this essential part of your processing line. Our cradles are especially effective when used with our power skinner. And finally, our hook tumbler will keep your hooks clean and polished. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
EaseOff, LLC, 417-932-6419.
I'm so excited to have you as part of the Wild Pastures family, and we look forward to bringing you the pasture-raised meats that you and your family will love. Now, we started Wild Pastures because so many of my clients would tell me they just couldn't find high-quality pasture-raised meats, and even when they did, it was so expensive that they couldn't afford to eat it regularly. Now, I'm not talking about the bottom-of-the-barrel healthy meats that have claims like natural or free-range or even cage-free, terms that were actually created by the industrial food industry to make us feel all warm and fuzzy about buying their low quality products. I'm talking about truly nourishing pasture-raised meats, the kind that you'll never really find in a grocery store. Our farmers are doing things beyond organic. Our beef is 100% grass-fed and grass-finished and raised on pastures free from chemicals and other pesticides. Our chickens are 100% pasture-raised, where they get their natural diet of grass and forage and insects. We will never settle for free-range, which is actually one of the most deceptive terms in the chicken industry. In fact, less than 0.1% of the chicken consumed in the United States is truly pasture-raised in the way that ours is. And our pork is 100% pasture-raised as well. So if you care about where your food comes from, then you have definitely made it to the right place. As a Wild Pastures member, you'll be supporting the most highly principled farmers in America and getting the most nutrient-dense, nourishing, and sustainable meats in the world. I'm confident you'll love being part of our mission at Wild Pastures, and you will really love the delicious, nourishing meats that we're going to deliver straight to your door.
Visit republicbroadcasting.org and click the Wild Pastures banner ad. Secure a shipment today. Beef, poultry, and pork. Raised the way nature intended.
The rain here. At least it's not windy and thunder and lightning right now. And our guest is Travis. And Travis, if you'd like to come on and introduce yourself and tell us a little about yourself, I'd appreciate it.
Hey, Mark. Thanks for having me on. Appreciate it.
Yeah.
I think you always do a good job covering all the main topics and laying out a pretty excellent show, I think. So,
thank you.
Props to you. And it's a pretty, I think it's an honor to be on RBN, and a lot of great hosts here and a lot of good information. So I always try to remind my listeners too, probably not frequently enough, to, you know, help RBN out, keep it going, because we need a good place to, all listen in and join conversations. So.
Yeah. Oh, you know, you want to take calls later, right? When should we take them? Second hour,
I guess? Whatever you want, whatever anybody calls in. I mean, I'm
all right. This really sounds good. This sounds good to me. Yeah, I like that too. Yes, Sam. So we're open to calls whenever. And that's 512-248-8252.
Yeah. So, you know, yeah, I'm just an average guy. Kind of got into RBN just kind of as a freak thing. I used to have a website, you know, just been out there trying to make my way, figure things out. And, you know, I agree with a lot of pretty much everything you said, everything Mitchell and my friend Jeff and Joe said. Like, things are all just messed up and a big lie, and so we're all just trying to figure it out, do the best we can. And, you know, I try not to get down on the situation we're in because, you know, really that doesn't put you in a good headspace and doesn't really accomplish much. So just need to kind of keep it on the up and up and, you know, enjoy the time we have left and, you know, prepare any way you can. So I try to focus on some of the prepping topics. And of course I talk about the shows and nights and, you know, all the current events without really trying to get it too into current events. Cause you know, everybody's out there covering current events, but
yeah,
you know, just big picture, I think is where we should really focus, you know, zoom in, zoom out. It's interesting you brought up that the Donald Cook. I kind of forgot about that until you reminded me what happened there. And you know, my take is they're probably barking up the wrong tree. They really want to start World War III, and I don't think the people of the world want World War III. So,
yeah, you know, they're persistent, and people like to say they're patient. These Pharisites, but I think it's more they're being restrained. They're not patient at all. That's a virtue. They're persistent. Right, right. You know, they're parasitic. And what was interesting about 2014, I kept thinking, well, why are all these different things being dropped this one year? You know, if you look back, there's all these different trying to start that war and all that, you know. And it was 66 years after 1948. And we know how they love that six. So I don't know. That may have some influence the way they think. I don't know. Seems to me they kind of keep record of things by dates, like 48, of course, when they got their thing going on over there. Well, 1848 is when the upheaval in Europe was, and all these Marxist Germans, so a lot of them Jews, came over here, and they made up a quarter of the Union Army, you know? And it's like similar to what's going on now, looks like, you know?
Right.
Well, we do have a caller. We have Mike in Kentucky. You want to take him?
Yeah.
From line one. Okay. Hey, Mike.
Hey, Mike. And can I ask, where are you at with this storm? Are you in the east part? You're in New Jersey, right?
No. Well, I have a house there, but I'm in Wisconsin, southwest Wisconsin.
Oh, so you're getting the remnants of the tornadoes that went through, maybe, the front that went through last couple of days. Very
Looks
rare
like
to have all those tornadoes 2 days in a row, by the way. And where where's your guest, Travis, from?
Yeah, where are you, Travis? I meant to ask you.
Right now, I'm at work in Alaska, so that's where I'm at. That's where I'm at.
Wow.
Yeah.
So you're not really in an air corridor. You don't see a whole lot of spraying up there, or whatever you want to call it, jet trails in Alaska.
It depends. Depends on the day. You know, like, yes, I've seen them. Not particularly a lot where I'm at, but I have seen them in Alaska. And
they do them,
yeah. But it doesn't seem like it's often for some reason.
What I'm getting at is it's a solar max. We're in a solar max. And I've noticed since they when was that that the Hamas attacked Israel? Day again, the 7th of
October 7th or something.
Yeah.
I think it was October 7th. I started noticing that we started seeing a lot more blue sky, almost like they'd flipped the switch and they took some fuel catalysts out of the jets. And what that will do is going to provide less reflectivity and more solar energy to come down to the surface of the earth, because since at least 1980, and I'm a sky watcher. I grew up with Star Wars and all the World War II, Baba Black Sheep, you know, Robert Conrad, and all the different things, you know, to do with aviation. So as I'm burning the trash as a youngster, I'm watching the jets fly over, and I saw the change in the jet trails begin, you know, with the high bypass turbofans. And then NBC in 1980 had a report about it, talking about how it was benefiting, you know, city dwellers, who would be warmer in the winter, and the farmers in flyover country, wouldn't be so hot for their crops, you know, and that kind of stuff. And it really changed in the 90s and escalated after I think George W. Bush, during the desert, what they call it, Operation Enduring Freedom, there was a shortage on jet fuel because they had to switch back and forth between, the refineries had to switch back and forth between military and civilian fuel. And so he issued an executive order because his brother Jeb was the governor in Florida. And they had mothballed a whole bunch of military bases. Well, that's federal jurisdiction, so he could bypass the EPA and set up refineries on those mothballed military bases to manufacture jet fuel because there was a heck of a bottleneck. And so when he did that, all the jets were able to burn one type of fuel, so they could put the same fuel catalysts in all the fuel. And so we started seeing a lot less blue sky days, you know. And even when it was a high-pressure, fair-weather day, the sky looked awfully silver, you know, and you'd still see remnants of the trails making a silvery haze. But here since October 7th, and I it just took me a while to think about it, they've got that, this carbon credit, Chicago Mercantile Exchange, Al Gore, carbon billionaire. I think they're setting it up to be an extra severe weather, hot weather summer by doing that, by all of a sudden and it could be some quiet lawsuits in play here, because a lot of the frequent flyers and staff that flies a lot, the pilots and stewards or whatever they call them now, stewards, used to be stewardesses, what do they call them now, flight attendants. Those people noticed when they have time off and vacation, they feel a lot better. And these jets, they're all computer controlled. They'll fly at an equal distance from one to the next. And I noticed a while back that they started flying upwind from the trails, previous trails. So they're not flying through the jet exhaust of the previous flight. They might fly across it, but they're not flying in. So they're getting, the engines actually have air pumps that pump air outside, air into the cabin in order to maintain the pressure of the air inside the plane. And so I'm sure it's filtered some, but I heard an interview a couple of years ago with the pilot that was lamenting that when he had time off, his illnesses would fade away. So there's some in the catalysts that were causing these jet trails to linger and make a larger crystals, ice crystals, that was lingering longer. And, you completely cover the sky with less jets than you used to have. And so by shutting that down, their fuel economy is less by putting less metal in there, whatever it might be. I've heard theories of barium and strontium and aluminum oxides, which would give maybe 6% or more fuel efficiency. And so the jet companies are going to, that's going to reduce our costs big time. So they'll go along with it until they've had a pilot shortage. And there's probably been some non-disclosure agreements and settlements out of court. And that may be another factor in why they've removed some of these fuel catalysts, but it'll play right into the accords for global warming and this sort of stuff if we have an extra hot severe weather year. So we can only make some guesses on this, because this sort of thing is all under wraps by the National Security Council. They keep something crazy like 600 patents under top secret, the technology. So that's why I was asking, if you guys had noticed since about last October that the jet trails don't seem to linger. And what I noticed is whenever there's a front, especially a cold front, that's going to bring precipitation in, you'll see when I was growing up, they taught you if you saw a ring around the moon, it would be rain in less than 2 days, right? So you'd notice that, and that was a way to predict the weather. It goes way on back before jet travel even existed. You'd see those high cirrus clouds, the humidity aloft at whatever, 50,000, 40,000 feet, would make a ring around the moon. But now you used to see that until recently a lot more frequently. You'd see a ring around the moon just from the jet exhaust trails. But you still would see the trails. You can almost predict the weather by the jet trails because they would be much more prevalent in the sky. And you knew, okay, we got rain coming. You know, we got a weather front coming. And, of course, the conspiracy theorists, if you want to call them that, the jet chemtrail conspiracy would say, well, that's they're amplifying the weather fronts with that. But in reality, it probably mitigates it somewhat because you're going to remove some of the heat from the weather system by curbing the sunshine to cause the air mass in front of this front to be hotter. And so when you have, you know, 20 degrees or more air difference, that's what they taught me in meteorology was when your air mass difference, you know, between the hot air and the cold air is more than 20 degrees and you have high winds aloft like the jet stream, you're more like, that's your formula for tornadoes and such. So it's very easy that they could be either intended or unintended consequences. We could be seeing a setup here for a much more severe weather summer. Did y'all ever see Aaron Russo's remake of with Eddie Murphy and Dan Aykroyd, that movie where they played with the orange juice futures market?
I don't remember that one.
Trading
Places.
Yeah.
It's actually a remake. They couldn't get, the Oscars wouldn't give them any awards because they remade, it was a remake of the movie, Modern Update. Mm-hmm. So if you can control moisture, rain, or whatever, you can mess around. You can make all kinds of money on the agricultural futures market. And that's that was a good example of that. And I think that's part of what made Aaron Russo go off the ranch, you might say, and do his, you know, Mad as Hell and his America Freedom to Fascism movies, because he realized that the market was rigged in more ways than he probably even knew, you know, but after he did that. But I think you know, you got to kind of, like you said, it's kind of hard to avoid getting blackpilled, and staying positive is a trick. My chickens are fighting. Anyway, yeah, I'm having a fight out here between a couple of roosters. That's all. I heard that show that you just played the clip of, and I really wanted to call in and quote Dante's Inferno because that was his doorway over the his. Inferno was abandon hope, all ye who enter here. So I think we need to find hope wherever we can. And one of those things that I think you guys are avoiding is the concept that empires always overextend themselves. They overcalculate their power. And there's always remnants that survive. Out here in the middle of nowhere, flyover country, you know, there's going to be...
On another radio show, I very often when people talk about hope and hopium and all this stuff, and in man's world, you know, and Patrick Henry had said that we're going to, you know, listen for the siren song of hope. But in the Bible, hope is expecting, and we attract what we expect, you know? So there's a good place for hope.
Realistic hope. I mean, we have to be realistic about it, of course.
Right.
We can't be ignorant. My people perish for lack of knowledge is a...
Sure. And you reject knowledge, and I'll reject you and your children.
There you go. So that's been my thing, you know, here in the last couple of years, is a wise man provides for his grandchildren. I don't think that necessarily just means... Of course it doesn't just mean money, because, you know, what kind of world are you going to leave for your grandchildren doesn't include money.
Well, just like, you know, they took out Locke, had it, and Jefferson about property, not pursuit of happiness. That's bogus. You know, happiness must come from inside or not at all. Now, I have people twisting that to mean all kind of things. Oh, it's what's happening and blah, blah, blah. No, We should be secured property. What are we going to be, suspended in air? How are we going to grow our food? No, we need to be, you know, we have to have property. And as it is now, even when you think you own something, you don't, because of property tax, you just let that lapse one time, and they're going to put those numbers out there on the porch, and there goes your land.
Well, if they hit America with a large enough baseball bat, I expect it's going to be a lot like a hive of bees. They're going to swarm and go. You know, they're going to lose control of the hive. In other words, because America's mm-hmm. pretty darn vast. America's really vast. I don't think people realize mm-hmm. that. Even though we're looking through the glass of invasion right now.
Yeah, and it's essential to get away from this media. This Talmudia, that is essential.
Right.
You know, I mean, Harold Wallace Rosenthal there with Walter White in 76, and it's essential to have control of the money, and then we'll have international conquest through propaganda. Well, that's what's going on.
Those are force multipliers, but what is the numbers game? If you want to look into the numbers, how long do you think it's possibly going to be before you could put a 200 million man army at Megiddo? If you look at the numbers right now, it's the active duty army for the entire world is not 20 million. It's not even 10% mm-hmm. of that, and that's all the countries combined. If you're talking about, you know, 2 point something million in China, you know, 1.9 million in the U.S. and 1 point something million in Russia, there's just, right now, there's no way the entire world could put 200 million men on horses north of Israel.
Yeah.
Horses with genetically modified lion's heads or whatever. It's not going to happen in our lifetime if you're going to take it that literally, the way that, you know, the flat earthers take so much
right.
of the Bible literally. So
yeah, there's a lot of symbolism, you know.
Exactly. It can't be literal or it fails. It's got to be some kind of figurative stuff going on there if you're going to believe it. And
right. There is a lot of literal too. But yeah,
look at the best military minds of our time. It takes one soldier on average per square kilometer, and that was true in Iraq. The Iraq War, counting the contractors and the active duty military personnel, National Guard, everybody that was deployed into Iraq. Iraq is 300 square kilometers. America is 9 million square kilometers just in the mm-hmm. lower 48, not counting Alaska. Who can put mm-hmm. 9 million troops in America right now to occupy this land? Nobody.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody. And the people that are coming into this country, maybe they're criminals, but they're not trained militarily.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, I think some of these articles
some
here that... Travis has a
some
couple
of
articles.
Maybe.
He's going to share with us, right, Travis? A couple of
one of those specifically points to some of the migrants being trained in, you know, Darien Gap area or wherever, mm-hmm. As mercenaries, or they're already coming with mercenary experience. So, obviously, those are going to form different teams, and they probably have the traditional operatives they're going to send to the city, you know.
Well, I think mm-hmm. they're going to have to be very careful if they take America down, because there's about
right.
50-some sites with 90 times or more nuclear waste than we saw blew up at Fukushima. So they'll destroy a lot of the country if they're not careful.
Yep.
Right.
Yep.
But not all of it.
Right. Well, thank you, Mike.
All
appreciate
right,
you calling.
Thanks, Mike. Appreciate it, buddy.
Okay, we'll be back in the next hour.
you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we the people are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.